Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The Delaware Division of the Arts is currently showcasing the work of 20 artists awarded fellowships this year. The Award Winners 24 exhibit features a wide variety of work, ranging from choreography to composition. And this year's winner of the prized Master Fellow Award is Mark Haggerty, an award-winning, classically trained instrumentalist, singer, and composer. And this week, Haggerty joins Delaware Public Media's Carl Lengel on Arts Playlist to chat about his work and what it means to be named this year's Master Fellow.
So let's start with what brought you to this particular path to music.
Well, my mother was extremely musical, played the piano by ear. There was music in the home. We had a set of records that she'd gotten from Kroger by buying groceries and paying an extra dollar. And I was very sickly as a child, couldn't go out and play very much. And I just sat there next to that hi-fi and listened. And so I got a big dose of the classics at a very, very young age. I'm told my favorite piece at age three was the Firebird. I actually think it was the Rimsky-Korsakov Capriccio Espanol, but it doesn't matter. You get the idea. My father wasn't very musical, but he knew that jazz was important, and he had the jazz station on and brought home jazz records of varying quality. And so I got that in my system as well. I didn't assume or presume that I could be a musician, least of all a composer, but I did study music, and I ended up going to the Oberlin Conservatory as a trumpet major, and then I got kind of drafted into the voice department because it happened that I could sing, and I'm a tenor, so I didn't do that very long, but I did sing professionally. I love the art songs, and I love the Bach. The opera can be fun, but there's a lot of material I just wasn't interested in, especially a lot of opera stuff I just wasn't interested in. So that wasn't a great match. The whole time, starting in high school, I had begun to write a little bit. And again, I didn't think that I was worthy of that calling. I used to, and when I was a kid, I had likenesses of all the great composers taped up in my room, and it was kind of a chapel, you know. So I didn't think that was for me, but I continued to do it, and I got some encouragement. Frankly, the more I heard of the music that was being written around me, the more I realized, well, I can do better than that. So at a certain point, I took some time off. I went to Brandeis for a year, where I was invited to participate in a graduate level program free of charge. And so that really kind of got me going. And then I had some very good luck in terms of performances and commissions and awards early on that gave me the confidence that, you know, I could do it.
You use sound sculpture as an approach to the work. What is that?
You know, the great 20th century composer Arnold Schoenberg said something to the effect that a piece of music is like a three-dimensional object that listeners can reconstruct in their minds and can only fully apprehend at the end. So obviously he's using time as one of the dimensions of what he called a three-dimensional object. You could argue there are more dimensions, but that doesn't matter so much. But the point of that is that all music has that characteristic. All music has a shape or shapes and a form that unfold over time. So to make a parallel between a musical composition and a visual shape or a sculptural shape isn't itself new. What I'm thinking about is a more explicit, intentional effort to exploit this aspect of music and put it in the foreground. I wouldn't be the first to do this. A bunch of composers, most of them Eastern European, most of them sort of mid-century of the last century, have experimented with this or really delved into it. People like, and these are not household names, but people like Ligeti, Lutosławski, Penderecki, Xenakis, they've experimented with this. I don't know that they've articulated it the way I am, but what they haven't done and apparently didn't care to do, was to make it truly musical and to potentially combine it with more traditionally expressive music. So that's what I actually want to do with it. It can mean anything from a wash of sound that creates a space around you, or it can be something that tries to give you the feeling of, you know, some of the phenomena of, you know, weather or nature, or for me, some of the thoughts I get when I read about theoretical physics or complex systems. And, it, you know, the feelings that I get, it's very inspiring for me, but, you know, senses of gravity and weightlessness, acceleration, deceleration, expansion, contraction, twisting, floating, flowing, changes of state. All these things do get conjured up in music. I mean, you might feel some of that listening to a Brahms symphony. In any case, I'm trying to go after this and put it in the foreground, but also combine it with my personal emotional reaction that I have, aesthetic emotional reaction that I have to these concepts in physics and quantum theory and astrophysics and so on. My wife and all my friends tell me, better humanize this before you put it out there. And so I will, but those are my inspirations.
Your work includes the ongoing collaboration on United We Stand with the urban spoken word Twin Poets, Delaware's Poets Laureate. How did that come about?
Well, United Sounds of America, and that's their title, and I love it, came about because my wife, Tracy Richardson, until fairly recently ran and did artistic direction a chamber ensemble. And Tracy said, I want to work with these guys. And so I went out and heard them. And she said, we're working with them and you're writing the music. And so the first version of that was actually done by her ensemble about 5 years ago. We kind of felt this could be bigger, should be bigger. And I was working with James Allen Anderson, the conductor at the University of Delaware. And we were going to do some projects and I gave him a listing. And the one I most wanted to do would be to turn this small piece into a much larger production. And he looked at the list and he said, look, we've got to do the Twin Poets. We've got to do United Sounds of America. So that was a given then. We brought in a soprano. We brought in a pianist. We brought in the composer, percussionist, Jonathan Whitney. A soprano, also from Delaware, is Makita Hampton. She sings with the Met a lot. Everything came together very nicely. And we also asked the poets to update the title poem, which is called United Sounds of America. They take that piece and they update it to reflect what's on their minds, what's in the news, and where they feel this country is or where they feel their neighborhood is at any given moment. And they also wrote a new piece to be sung by the soprano, Makita Hampton. And we were all sitting around the dinner table asking ourselves, what do we want this to be? And we turned to Makita and said, you know, for your piece. And she said, well, I think we need something with a feeling of benediction. And that very quickly turned into a conversation about grandmothers and their common experiences with their grandmothers. And that led to a poem about a beloved and very much missed, deceased, you know, remembered grandmother, which is something I never would have thought of, something I never would have chosen for myself to write about. And it was perfect. So that's kind of how it came about. We've recorded it. It came out very well. We're shopping it around to some labels. And we're looking for the next opportunity for performance.
Your piece, Woodland, is inspired by the return of forests in Israel, a symbol of hope for the region and the world. And all the instruments in Woodland, the strings, woodwinds, the solo percussionists, marimba, woodblocks, they're all made primarily of wood. Tell us more about that.
So Woodland was a commission from the Tefen Music Festival in Israel a few years ago. I knew there were going to be professionals playing and students playing, but there wasn't going to be a lot of rehearsal time, and so I needed to write something playable. I also knew the soloists were absolutely world class. I had a piece in mind called Woodland, and I was in the car with Tracy. We were on the New Jersey Turnpike and talking about this commission, and I said, you know, I really wish I could write woodland for this, but you know, what do woodlands have to do with Israel? So she got on her phone and she said, well, guess what? Since its inception, Israel has been planting trees, and the land occupied by Israel today supports more woods than it did in the year 1900, which is very much an exception in the world. So that, suddenly it made sense. So the three movements are life force, which kind of speaks to the power of life and its ability to regenerate. The middle movement is nocturne, and the last movement is rebirth. All of the percussion instruments are wooden, you know, and all the instruments are wooden. So we don't have any flutes or any brass. It's oboe, clarinet, bassoon, strings, and wooden percussion instruments.
Thanks to Delaware Division of the Arts Master Fellow Award winner Mark Haggerty and our Carl Engel for joining us on this edition of Arts Playlist. And The Green wraps up next with History Matters, which highlights a book focused on some lesser-known aspects of Delaware's past. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.